As you can see by the fact that I'm standing here, that Jim is not, or sitting here. This morning he came down ill, and so Rebecca called and said he wasn't going to be able to make it, so he sends his apologies to the church. But Lord willing, we will be able to hear his word, and God will provide for us in the interim. My question I have for you this morning is one of considering, what do you do? What is your recourse when you face various trials? What is your strength? What is your surety? What gives you confidence? What about when you face something greater than just a mere trial? What about something that's facing a matter of life and death, from persecution? What if someone attacks you verbally and seeks to destroy you? Very common theme throughout the world today and in America. It's also a very common theme throughout the scriptures. And when I think of the persecutions that people undergo and the threats that they face in the various ways in their lives, it is also amazing to me when I look around the world presently and through the course of history at the church, and I view those who suffered the loss of all things and faced the sword, the lions, the fire, gave up all things for the sake of Christ, to be identified with him. What was it that sustained them? How could they press forward in confidence? Well, this afternoon I would like us to turn in our Bibles, please, to Psalm 27. We're going to look at this psalm primarily at the beginning, but we're going to look at the whole psalm briefly. So Psalm 27. This is a psalm of steadfast confidence in the Lord, or I like, as the New American Standard Bible puts it, a psalm of fearless trust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desires of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. This psalm could be very conveniently divided into five sections. And those five sections would be 1, verse 1, fearless trust in God. 2, fearless trust in the face of enemies, verses 2 and 3. Fearless trust in the sanctuary, verses 4 through 6. Fearless trust in prayer, verses 7 through 12. And finally, fearless trust in God, verses 13 and 14. Let us look first at the first section, and that is the fearless trust in God, verse 1. The first phrase is, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." We'll pause there and look at those words. The first words of the psalm by David are, "The Lord." And this, then, is the foundation upon which we will build and will look more intently at the beginning of this psalm. In this declaration by David, the Lord, that is the foundation for the very reason for David's confidence and fearless trust, the Lord. It was the Lord who was with David when, as a young shepherd boy, he slew both the lion and the bear. It was this Lord that David knew who equipped him with confidence to fearlessly face the Philistine giant that mocked Israel and the God of Israel. And he killed him with but a sling and stone. It was the Lord who strengthened David to lead the armies of Israel against their enemies. It was the Lord who appointed David as king in Israel in place of the disgraced Saul. It was the Lord who was David's shepherd that caused him to exclaim, "I shall not want." And here it is, the same Lord to whom David says in this being his light and salvation. Throughout David's life, he faced a multitude of enemies that threatened him and the nation. It was his zeal for the honor of God that motivated him to defend the name of God and the people of God. David navigated those dark conflicts with a clarity and understanding that trust in God provided. Thus, David experienced the light of God as his equipper and defender. And David was victorious over the enemy and knew God's gracious salvation. It is this light that gives illumination. For light is from God. For God is light. This light that is contrast between the darkness and evil, because light is holy and good. It is the light of strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation, as he says at the very beginning, because he knew the light in which he lived and the strength with which was his, because God is light and there is no darkness in him. Since David knew the greatness of God, that he is infinite, eternal, omnipotent, how could he not say with bold confidence then, "Whom shall I fear?" And since the Lord had been his refuge and defender, even in the face of the most dreadful circumstances, how could he not confidently exclaim, "Whom shall I dread?" Since the Lord is great and mighty, the Lord of light and of salvation, the enemies of the Lord's chosen are but small and ultimately insignificant. And as another psalm says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So rather than fearing his enemies, David feared the Lord, because in that he knew that that was his greatest strength. Verses 2 and 3 state, "When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." And this is the fearless trust that David had in the face of enemies. And here he uses his adversaries and enemies in the plural, more than one. And as you are familiar with the life of David, his enemies began early on with the bear and the lion, that as a shepherd boy, he protected the sheep with his sling and with a staff as he took down the lion and the bear. And of course, later on, in the story you know very well, David goes to take food to his brothers in the battle against the Philistines. And there on the front lines was Goliath standing there, proclaiming loudly and boasting that no one can defeat him, as he mocked Israel, as he mocked Israel's God. And David, of course, upon hearing this, takes great offense at the brashness and foolishness of such a boast. And he asks, where is the soldier? Where is the one who will defend? No one stood forward but David. And there this young boy again takes his sling, gathers up his five stones, and goes out to face the giant. And how dare you speak to the Lord God Almighty such? And with one stone, fell him and killed him and vindicated the nation in the name of God. And following in the light of those events, David was made a general in the army and led the army through great victories against their enemies and brought a measure of peace to the land. But then even the king rose in jealousy against David and sought to destroy him because of his jealousy, because the people honored David more than they honored Saul. And Saul pursued him, and David fled. And even the opportunity that David had to kill Saul, he withheld his hand because he feared God more than he feared his enemy. And so he spared the king's life, who was anointed by God. And on throughout his life, even to the point that his own son rose up against him and overthrew him. And so David, experiencing not just an enemy, but enemies without and enemies within. And so he can say that when these enemies came to devour his flesh, not just to kill him, but to slander him, to belittle him, to mock him, to make him of no account, David did not cower under those threats, nor did he run in fear. But instead, because of his boasting in the Lord, of his confidence in God's provision, he says, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. And though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. And here is a key point in the life, understanding the life of David and the one who faces these difficulties in confidence. My heart will not fear. Why? Because he knows the Lord, and he knows the power of the Lord. He knows the deliverance of the Lord. And so because of David's experience of going through his life, of knowing the intimacy of God with him, he could say, my heart will not fear. And though a war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. That is the fruit of knowing God, having a heart that is not fearful and standing in confidence in what God calls you to do. So here, the emphasis is on the past, because they did stumble and his enemies did fall. Confidence and trust were strengthened in David's life as he experienced all of these differences. And as David faced, even going back to the lion and the bear in bold confidence, how much more later was he able then to exercise that bold confidence when the enemies were greater? Verses 4 through 6 state, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. This is fearless trust in the sanctuary. To be in the temple of God, is to be in the presence of God. It is the place of sanctuary from enemies. It is the place of confident hope. and security and refuge are there in the presence of God. It is as finding protection from enemies on a high rock fortress. As he says in verse 5, he will lift me up on a rock. That rock is that fortress. The fortress not made with hands, but the fortress that is God himself. God's goodness, God's protections, God's abiding love for his people. So in the temple, though David did not see the temple built, he provided for its construction by Solomon. But David knew what the temple was to be. He knew what the temple represented because he had the tabernacle. They had the presence of God who was with them by his presence as the Shekinah glory. So that place where David found his strength, his security, and his hope was being in the temple where he could meditate upon the greatness and the goodness of God, the past accomplishments that God had provided for him and for his people, and going back even to the days of creation and the days of Moses and the deliverance and all that God had done to preserve those whom he called to himself, David in the temple knew that this is where he would meet God. This is where he would worship God. And this is where he would find that strength in God to be able to endure through the hardships that he faced. And it's interesting to see that in verse 6, he said, "Now my head is lifted up above mine enemies around me." Lifted up, exalted, delivered. And as a result, what is David's response there? "I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of joy." This is the proper response of God's people to God's work. It must always end in worship, in praise, in offering up of thanksgiving. This is what we are called to do. This is what the end is. That when faced with a difficulty, relying upon the power of God, seeing the deliverance that God provides, to the end that God might be glorified. This is the ultimate way in which God is recognized for his deliverance and for his holy character. Next, we looked at the fearless trust in prayer in verses 7 through 12. And here he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desires of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and as such as breathe out violence." So David, while in the temple, in the presence of God, recognizing who God is, then recognizes his opportunity and privilege to offer up prayer to God. So in this prayer, David pleads for God, "Oh, hear me, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." He recognizes that he has the opportunity to come before God, lift his voice in prayer. He also recognizes that God has the ability and the power to be gracious to him and to answer him. But David recalls in this prayer what it meant for him to be in this place. For he says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.'" So David recognizes that not only is that privilege there, but there is the summons to him to seek God. The imperative, "Seek my face," God said. And it's in that presence of God's face where there is that holy countenance, where David finds peace, where he finds strength, where he finds hope. It is being in the face of God that is the favor of God. But then David considers the antithesis of being in God's face, and that is, do not hide your face from me. His fear was that if God were to turn his back, turn away his face from David, then the enemies, the adversaries, would have the advantage. The enemies would be victorious over him. David did not want to bear the anger of God because he knew now the strength of God, and God had indeed been his help. Nor did he want to be abandoned. Can you imagine the fear of someone who has been abandoned by God? The protection's been removed. The light of his countenance has faded. Darkness, despair, hopelessness are all that remain. David knew what being forsaken meant because he had seen it happen in the lives of many. But he knew that God was the God of his salvation. He knew that the place that he was in, there was no other earthly help except that which he could find in the temple in the presence of God. For he says, my father and my mother have forsaken me. But his confidence was, the Lord will take me up. He was confident that regardless of all that there was in earth that would have abandoned him, that yet God was there. Finally, we look at that last section, fearless trust in God, which is, comes back to the very beginning, verses 13 and 14. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This puts it back to where the what if. Had David not known the Lord, what would have been the prospects for his life? And he makes it very clear. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Now, you know many times and many people who hold on to beliefs that are founded on nothing but vapor. I believe, just because I believe, that this is the way I want it to be. And there is no hope, of course, in that. It's belief in wishful thinking. And yet, here is David saying that he believed because the Lord had been his God. The Lord had been his God, his Lord. And that he believed that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now David continued to live in this life. He continued to undergo adversarial pursuits and enemies. And yet ultimately this is what David was not referring to in this life. The land of the living is the place where God abides with his people. That is the hope that anchors the soul of those, wherever they are, that face deadly trials and persecution. It is the fact that the hope that we possess is a hope that transcends this life into life eternal. And the one who is to bear up under the adversary and the difficulties of this life must have a sure anchor in that hope in eternity, where the presence of God is. That is the land of the living. That is the hope. That is the goodness of the Lord that David longed to see. And though that will always, on earth, it will always pale, we can see the goodness, we do see the goodness of the Lord here. Yet, our hope is fixed, not on the world getting better, but that our presence with God is secure. And he is the one, the light, the strength, the refuge, the deliverer that we long to see and to be under his complete care in his presence. So David concludes with, wait for the Lord. There again, the hope, fearless trust in waiting for the Lord. If it doesn't come, wait. If deliverance isn't there immediately, wait. If you're still suffering, wait. But wait as David waited in the Lord. So the conclusion here is very fitting, as David says, in the hearing of all of God's people, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Though David penned that a long time ago, the words still ring for God's people in every age. And we must always be a people who are happy to wait for God in his time so that we can then know more the goodness of God and then respond as David did with thanksgiving and praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We live in a world that is full of turmoil. All around us, things collapse, fail. There is evil on every side. And yet, our hope is not fixed upon this world, but our hope is in the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. You, O God, are our hope, our strength, and our shield. Let the words of this psalm echo in our lives so that as we live day to day, that we would be happy with whatever circumstances because we know that we belong to the Lord God Almighty. Strengthen us to that end, we pray. Through Christ our blessed Savior. Amen. Before us sits the table of the Lord. And in that, that's a clear reminder of what God has done for us and how he has provided for us in the face of enemies. And as we approach the table, ponder the truth of what God has done for us in all that we are and all that we do, and how before him we stand sure, complete, and in hope. Hang on just a second, please. Got ahead of myself or behind myself. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup, and also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'"